No relationships to disclose. Many of the authors that we read as we were preparing for this made a differentiation between the terms militarization, did not make a differentiation, I should say, between militarization and militarism. They tend to use those interchangeably. We'll just look at some basic definitions as we start. Militarization, the contradictory intense social process in which civil society organizes itself for the production of violence. The degree to which a society's institutions, policies, behaviors, thought, and values are devoted to military power and shaped by war. Militarism tends to be a little farther along on the continuum. The adoption of war and military behaviors is ideals. The glorification of war and military powers ends in themselves as dominant or even defining values in society in which the military establishment has disproportionate social and political influence relative to other elites or institutions. The prevalence of the military over civil authority, the prevalence of warlike values in a society. We look at the history of militarization in America. In the 1920s and 30s, war and the military began to shape American culture and institutions in more influential ways. And this happened later in America than it did in many of the countries in Europe. During World War II, the U.S. was fully militarized. During the Cold War, militarization, while less noticeable, became more permanent. The needs of the military and the threat of war pervaded the economy and American society. Cold War redefined American science. So you see this collaboration between the military, universities, and our research was focused on military aims. By 1969, some 45% of adult males were veterans. The war on terror reinforced the militarization of the past seven decades, and war was normalized in our society. And as we look forward, the global war on terror is an event, a process that could stretch out for a generation or more. As I said, it would be of indefinite duration, be fought with less military forces than by intelligence, law enforcement, diplomacy, and increased homeland defenses. It will be fought against an ill-defined and shifting enemy and lack a specific definition of victory, and that means it is essentially open-ended. The problem is not simply whether the war on terrorism threatens to militarize the United States. Over the past 70 years, the U.S. has already experienced a degree of militarization heretofore unknown in American history. The larger question is whether the war on terrorism will blur into militarism, in which American institutions, practices, values, thinking, and behaviors assume the ideals and ethos of the military in response to the challenge, whether the very character of the American people changes with the emphasis on freedom and individualism displaced by obedience, discipline, hierarchy, collectivism, authoritarianism, pessimism, and cynicism. Militarism as a process includes all these kinds of things: wars, coups, destabilizations. The ideological manifestations are the dissemination of military values, symbols, and language in civilian society, nationalism, and definition of the other. And the other can be very broadly defined as enemy and the acceptance of violence as legitimate. And strict division of proper gender roles, which has an impact on how women are treated and regarded in the society. Militarism and gender violence. The military's use of pornography demonstrates a link between misogyny and preparedness. The Inspector General concluded that military service is probably more conducive to domestic violence than any other occupation due to authoritarianism, training in physical force, and stress of frequent moves and separations on family. The use of violence to control rigid perceptions of gender is evident in assaults on gays and lesbians. If we look at the participation in the military since 1940 up to 2010, since 1973 there has been no military draft, as you know. But unlike other wars waged in the past century, the post 9/11 conflicts have been fought exclusively by professional military and enlisted volunteers. And if you look at the chart, you can see the difference that we've seen in the number of people participating since World War II. During this decade of sustained warfare, only 0.5% of the American public has been on active duty at any given time. At the height of World War II, the comparable figure was nearly 9%. As a result of the relatively small size of the modern military, most of those who served during the past decade were deployed more than once, and 60% were deployed to a combat zone. As we talk further, you will see this has a definite impact on women, children, and communities, not only minority communities, but in all communities. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have been experienced not only on the battlefield, they have reverberated inside the homes of military families left behind in the United States by deploying service members. When they return, the wars come with them. Service members cope with the emotional and physical scars, the employment disruptions of their service. Moreover, more frequent deployment and shorter periods at home between the deployments have made this a significantly more difficult set of wars for military families than those of the past. National Guard and Reserve members have been called away for unprecedented periods affecting both their families and the communities that have gone without their service and their economic contributions. The central effect of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan on the nation have been the impact on families and communities. The number of burdens have fallen on returning veterans and their families. Child abuse is three times higher. Partner abuse rates of 177%. That is alarming. Veterans and their families experience higher rates of suicide, mental illness, increased drug and alcohol dependence, higher rates of violence, including homicide, child abuse, neglect, high-risk behaviors, including elevation of car crashes and drug overdoses, elevated levels of homelessness and divorce. These families are definitely under stress. Clinical levels of stress among children. The causes of this suffering and chaos are complex and not all simply the direct cause of combat exposure. A third of the suicides, in fact, in service members never deployed in war zones. Some of the elevated rates of interpersonal violence can be accounted for by higher rates of drug use, some of which begins with military prescriptions. DOD has resisted measuring some of these problems and has mostly focused on attributing them to individual soldier characteristics. In other words, they're blaming the victims. Most of these problems, however, must be accounted as direct and indirect consequences of a decade of war. Here are key findings of the Brown University report that just came out this year. The vets are 75% more likely to die in car crashes. The rates of vehicular mayhem have doubled. Sex crimes have tripled. By 2008, more than 2 million American children have coped with a parent going to these wars. And as many as 500,000 of those children have become clinically depressed. This is a large problem of children in military families. The VA only began tracking veteran suicides in 2008, and the rate's two times higher than among comparable civilian populations. Employment rates, 2% points high, unemployment rates are 2% percentage points higher among vets. The military has increasingly offloaded the burden of care for service members' household to their families and mainly onto women. The Army's use of the determination that a soldier has a pre-existing condition has saved it over $12.5 billion. Not providing service to veterans who come home after serving. In 2007, 7,000 children had a parent in one of the war zones.
This is just a brief look at where our tax go, and you can see that over 44% of our tax dollar goes to the military. That's probably an underestimate. The blue wedge is health care, below 20%. And even though we talk about how much money we're spending for health care, we're spending more than twice as much for the military. The amount of money spent on the military in many countries can be seen as contributing to structural violence, which exists when economic and social conditions are such that people die or suffer as a consequence of the unequal distribution of resources, not as a result of physical violence. The Canadian women's budget maintains that historically women and children disproportionately bear the cost of militarism, since they are overrepresented among the poor and rely on social programs that defense spending undermines.
Okay, here's some of the demographics. Total number of military personnel is over 3.6 million. Women comprise 14.3%, although they represent 54.4% of the workforce. Slightly less than 30% of active duty service members identify themselves as a minority. This was greater in 2009 than in 1990. 9% of officers, 28% of enlisted in 1990, up to 22% of officers and 31% in 2009. Whites represent 70.3% of the active duty force, black or African American, 17%, we're only about 12.5% of the general population. Asian American Indians, 3.6,
Alaska Natives 1.7, and Native Alaskan and other Pacific Islanders 0.6. 10.7% identify themselves as of Hispanic ethnicity. Over half of them are married. This is lower than the percentage and reflects the lower marriage rate in the society. There are fewer active duty members than their associated family members. Over one-third are married with children. 5.3 are single parents. The largest group of children is birth through five, so we were looking at little kids being affected by this. The next largest group is 6 to 11 and 12 to 18, and the smallest group, 19 to 22. Homeless veterans are especially a problem in the communities, particularly in minority communities where many of them live. They're predominantly male. Nearly half served during Vietnam. Two-thirds served for at least 3 years. One-third were stationed in a war zone. The VA estimates that 107,000 veterans are homeless on any given night. Only 8% of the general population can claim veteran status, but nearly one-fifth of the homeless population are veterans. Many at-risk veterans live with many problems, PTSD, substance abuse, lack of social support. Roughly 56% are African American or Hispanic, despite accounting for only 12.8% and 15.4% of the population, much overrepresented in the homeless veteran population. Some studies have been done, but not much. Study of veteran family adjustments after a disabling wound found for some, it was a life-changing event. Others didn't take it quite so hard, but on the whole, they seemed to be functioning pretty well. But there were some families that struggled with unemployment, finance problems, health problems, marital strain, and various other family issues as a result of this problem. Study was done on children, looking at them and their at-home parents to estimate the impact of deployment on them, and they found that children showed considerable resilience in many cases. However, about one-third of the children showed clinically significant symptoms of anxiety, and the length of parental deployments accumulated, children appeared to be at an increased risk for these symptoms. Also, children's distress was linked to the distress levels of parents. Study was done of Black and Hispanic veterans in VA treatment for PTSD. At the time of admission, the Black had less education, more likely to be married or receive VA compensation, more severe alcohol and drug problems, less severe PTSD symptoms than either white or Hispanics. But it's interesting, they found that the changing the treatment regime had little effect on the treatment outcomes among these people. So, recommendations and conclusion. The data is limited. It is scarce and incomplete on the effect of militarism on the general population as a whole and on minority families and communities in general. Inferences that may be drawn from the available data suggest the following conclusions and recommendations. Disparities exist between minorities and the dominant culture with regard to the experiences of current military personnel, veterans, and military families. Differences exist among the various minority groups with reference to the experiences of current military personnel, veterans, and military families. Because there are subtle and complex differences among various ethnic groups related to the systemic and personal causes of disparities associated with militarism, public health interventions must be carefully and specifically structured to account for such causes, the cultural experiences of each group, and strategies that are effective for each group. One size does not fit all. The differential socioeconomic distribution of minorities among the general population means that the social and economic costs of militarism are also differentially distributed. More research is needed to delineate the various effects of militarism among veterans, military families, and ethnic communities. Thank you.
Thank you.